We turn to God's word in scripture, and we're reading from Luke's gospel, chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, headed in the NIV version, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, that's Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not come in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you've said something that you regret? Either at the time or perhaps as circumstances work out, you realise what you said was inappropriate. It may be accidental, it might be stupid, it might be sincerely wrong, or it might be just taking a risk. Other reasons as well. And in this day of political correctness, we have to be on our guard, not to reveal by what we say what our real thoughts are. What have I said? If we seek to follow Jesus Christ and be Christians, then we need to take seriously what he says. The things he says and the way he says them. As I read scripture, it's hard to believe that Jesus ever said anything for which he had to apologize. Although it's clear by what he said, he upset lots of people. This morning we're looking at the situation recorded in Luke's gospel about just such an incident. Jesus is in full flow, teaching, positive and direct. Try to imagine the scene. One of the factors that governs what we see when we're reading the Bible and other situations is to use a close-up camera. We see Jesus and we see his disciples and not much else. But in this particular situation, in chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands were gathering and they were trampling upon each other, Jesus began to speak to his disciples." Now we get a better picture of what's going on. We draw back as far as we can to see more interaction going on between Jesus and the crowd and Jesus and his disciples. The crowd are trampling on each other, but Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Noise and chaos. Chaos, confusion and panic. The disciples are confused. In fact, later on in this account, in chapter 12, Peter has to say to Jesus, "Is this teaching for us or is it for everybody?" Then, in this hubbub of noise and confusion and someone in the crowd says to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." I guess he must have been quite close to Jesus to say it. Who's he? What does he want? Is it a trap? In some ways, this man is me. And I'm led to believe that he can be you too. You as well. The man came because his inheritance and he went down the male line. So I think it's a man. but I think this includes men and women. Why is he asking Jesus? He addresses Jesus as teacher. And in that society, inheritance, a dispute about inheritance, was normally dealt with by rabbis. Is Jesus a rabbi? I've been a lay pastor, not ordained, not called reverend, but I've been recognized with a Baptist union and I have a certificate. Jesus didn't have a certificate to make him a rabbi. He was the son of a carpenter from Nazareth. And he was hounded by the religious community and authorities of whom and of which he had disdain and criticism. I said, the man in the crowd is me. In amongst the crowd of people in this world, I use the close-up camera. It's me and Jesus. And I want him to solve my problems. The great mankind can go hang, fight their own battles, but I want me and me and me. Do what I want. The man is asking Jesus to be a judge. And Jesus has been talking about making judgments. So what's wrong? Jesus said, who appointed me to be an arbiter? In effect, he says, no. And what's the difference between the blind man asking for sight and a cheated brother asking for inheritance? Who appointed Jesus to heal the sick? God did. Heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captive free. We can read about that in Luke chapter 4 in Nazareth. He's ordained and gifted by God. In fact, he is God. And when sending out the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and sickness. So that's okay. Does inheritance matter? Yes, especially if we're dealing with the promised land and this man's a Jew. If you're ethical or moral, you want justice to be done. But we know if we read the parable of the prodigal son, it's all about inheritance. The older brother says it's not fair. The younger brother's had his inheritance, now he's back again. It's not fair. But the father said, your brother was lost and he's found. And we see God's living love and practical mercy triumphing over rules. In the bigger picture, Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. Here's a conjecture, going back to the man who's talking to Jesus in the crowd. It may be that the elder brother that he was talking about was in the crowd with him. Maybe he's trying to shame him into some reconciliation. Or maybe it is a trap that he's been set up by the religious community to get Jesus to act as a rabbi, and then he would be in trouble. But Jesus does much more than just say no. He puts worldly possessions in their proper place. And I find this uncomfortable. I find this uncomfortable because it upends all my values and makes me face up to what God's values are. It turns my world upside down. And Jesus tells the parable of the rich fool. Is this general, or was it for the man who asked for justice over his inheritance? Is he then to see himself as a fool? He may well have said to himself, I wish I'd never opened my mouth, and I've been in that situation too, and I guess you have too. And we know the parable of the rich fool. Rich farmer, bumper crop, new and bigger barns, put your feet up. Who is he? He can be you and he can be me. And it seems a crushing condemnation of the man in the crowd. So where do I stand? The bearing is this, that there is a judge who will examine everything. The beginning of chapter 12 says this, when a crowd of many thousands were gathering so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you've said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you whispered in the ear in the inner room will be proclaimed from the roofs. There is a judge. And he will judge. Be on your guard. Wake up. So in the parable, the rich man had a bumper crop. Should he have pulled down his barns? Possibly. Something had to be done with the grain. Should he have thanked God and thought about who he could help? Yes, he should. The riches of a good harvest are God's blessing to be shared. What do you know about harvest Thanksgiving and harvest festival? How high do they stand in the pinnacle of the church celebrations? It's just another thing we sort of do. Go back 100 years, Harvest Thanksgiving and Harvest Festival were key celebrations in the church. We've become divorced from where our sustenance comes from. Because of the welfare state and supermarkets and science, etc., it isolates us from the blessing of God in nature. So what about the man in the crowd? Should he just accept being cheated by his brother? That was his choice. He could go to another rabbi and ask a different rabbi for justice. So pull back the camera on humanity and pull back the camera on... Why does God call the rich farmer a fool? Because he's serving himself. It's all for me. What about you and what about me? Who can we help? What will you change? Can you see your life from God's perspective? Just two chapters on in Luke chapter 14, verse 33, which under the heading of the NIV is called The Cost of Being a Disciple, Jesus says, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Ah. God's values are so different from mine. Any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. By nature, and I include myself, we are self-seekers. It's the way we survive. I am the man in the crowd, but I don't want to be the rich fool. I've been blessed in all my life. I've been blessed by what other people have done for me. Gifts and support I've had. Is it just for me? And does Jesus just throw this bombshell in and leave us to it? No, he goes on to say, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. Look at the ravens, look at the lilies. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God's view. Question, should all Christians there sell, in the whole world sell their possessions and give to the poor? That would make a difference, wouldn't it? Not necessarily, but I believe if God calls you to, you should. And in this world today, many people have. When I got married, I said my vows to Shirley, with all my worldly goods I thee endow. I said, with this ring I thee wed, and with my worldly goods I thee endow. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can Shirley cash this in? Did I mean it? Can God cash in the promises you've made to him? Where's your heart? I cannot say what you should do. That's between you and God. May God, through his Holy Spirit, reveal to us at Lower Valley Baptist Church what we should do to help others and reinforce what we are already doing. May we recognize God is sovereign. May help me to stop being self-serving. And may we take Jesus Christ at his word. Amen.